Nice to be back here. It's been quite a while. I see some of you a bit more often because you are involved with the charity and run into people in town and hear what you're up to. But fascinating to hear about all the links you have with different ministries and people that are close to home and a bit further away too. So I'll tell, for those who maybe don't know much about Refugee Roots, I'll have a bit of an introduction. We've got a scattering of a few videos that just were very brief words from some of our participants and some of our volunteers are in those. And we'll think a little bit, very briefly, on the verse that was read out, and then also also thinking about the theme of Refugee Week, which is our home, and what that means, with a bit of a reflection on Father's Day too. So I've got two things going on here. So Refugee Roots welcomes all, helping those in need find friendship and a place to call home. We're a Christian charity that helps asylum seekers and refugees build relationships and navigate the complexities of building a new life in the UK. And the main way in which we do that is through these three kind of core areas of work, and that is our befriending, learning, and support. Now that, I think, is threaded through all of the different activities at Refugee Roots, but we do have regular language classes through the week. We've got an arts program. We've got people that meet up one-to-one and spend, you know, an hour, maybe 2 hours a week with an individual. That might be to help them with their language or to start getting a bit more comfortable and familiar with things in the UK that they've not maybe had to deal with before, getting to appointments, finding their way to other services and accessing support. But also through advice, we're able to offer help with housing, making referrals to other service providers, helping people when they're able to work, to find employment opportunities, to help open up bank accounts, and very practical things, really. There we are.
Originally, I came to Refugee Roots as a placement student through my university course, and I enjoyed it so much I stayed on volunteering.
You can make a difference in other people's lives when you feel that you're sort of giving back, something that you can do, something where you can see that you've made a difference.
When I help the people, when I see that smile on a face, it gives me so positive energy and makes me so happy.
You get to meet lots and lots of different people. Many other volunteers have become friends. Participants teach me so much about their culture. It's just a really nice community.
The Refugee Roots started assisting me at the beginning. And then as the years go, I felt like I must just give back what I was given. And I must just, you know, give back the experience that they have shown me or the love that they have shown me.
I volunteer at Refugee Roots at in the English classes. I love teaching English and I love meeting the students and making them feel welcome and helping them learn English.
Because Refugee Roots is love. That's the first thing I should tell, and it is love. The people that I hear, they do it because of love of the people, because of love of what the work is about. It includes everybody of all walks of life.
In every Tuesday, I come to Refugee Roots and enjoy all sessions. We had a good conversation, we had a good teacher, we had a good team. Refugee Roots, I enjoy every Tuesday.
I make new friends from different countries. I also learn English. This is helpful.
I'm happy here, very happy here.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So whether some of you here are directly involved in volunteering or because this church has supported the charity financially or have other ways in which you're in touch with us. Maybe some of you might get our news. You're part of what was described by one of our participants, Alliance, in the experience of love that's shown and that we have a privilege to be able to share. And we're going to, I think we'll skip that and carry on. So the theme for Refugee Week is our home. And I do have another video which it's a very simplistic explanation of the term asylum seeker. Who is an asylum seeker? And you know, we have this question, well, why do refugees leave their home? And I think that sort of comes out in this video. And then I've got some stories as well that I'll share of a couple of people that we know.
Conflict or persecution forced many people to leave their homes in search of safety. But fortunately, people affected by displacement have a right to seek asylum in another country. Asylum seekers are people who have requested protection from conflict or persecution, but their request has not been processed yet. People lodge an asylum application at a relevant authority of a host country, for example, a local asylum office. From this moment on, they are recognised as an asylum seeker. To prove that their request for protection is legitimate, asylum seekers go through a lengthy process. Trained officials will usually conduct a detailed interview with the asylum seeker. The interview helps them find out where the asylum seeker has come from and why they fled. Besides the interview, asylum seekers are usually asked to present identity documents and other materials supporting their application. That can be a passport, a birth certificate, or a marriage certificate. Next, the asylum authority will assess the credibility of the information provided by the asylum seeker. In particular, that means to find out the reasons why they fled and what risks they would face should they return. Processing an asylum application can take a long time. Whilst they wait, asylum seekers usually stay in the host country. In most cases, they have a right to the daily essentials: a place to sleep, meals, and healthcare. Despite this support, life as an asylum seeker can be full of challenges. Many asylum seekers stay in facilities with less privacy than in a private home. Whilst their asylum application is being verified, many of them live with unanswered questions and uncertainties on their status. During the procedure, they may not have permission to work and earn a living and to do other important things in life. Once the whole procedure is complete and every bit of information has been checked, the asylum authority will take a decision. If an asylum claim is rejected, asylum seekers are asked to return to their country and may get assistance to do so. Others try to appeal against the decision. If, however, the asylum claim is accepted, the asylum seeker will be granted protection. This means they gain refugee status or another protective status. Refugees should be granted a right to remain in their host country in safety and dignity. They should have rights to access education, work, healthcare, and other essential services.
I think the UNHCR have got quite a lot of little short videos like that are very, very useful and easily found on YouTube. But they're, you know, revealing a few of the things that lead to people having to flee where they're from. And what was described about those uncertainties while people wait for the outcome of claims, maybe not being able to work. Despite maybe having some provision or some financial support or accommodation, life can be very hard, and that's really why Refugee Roots is around. Basically, is to through the friendships and networks that we help establish for the people that we get to work with, they can start to overcome some of those challenges, some of the things that's difficult about being in a new place. So I've got two very, very, very short stories of a couple of people that we've worked with over quite a number of years. And one is Fahad, and these are not the people in the picture, these are just pictures from yesterday, in fact. Fahad fled his home in Afghanistan after his village was invaded by the Taliban. He was a shepherd with more than 400 sheep, a father, a husband, and also a son. But he was severely beaten by the Taliban and suffered severe injury, in fact, brain injury, which has had long-term implications. And we've worked with him for over 6 years, and he came in first through our advice service, and then we found a befriender who he's still in touch with to this day, in fact. And we helped get him to medical appointments. I remember one of my first things that I did in my early months was I went on the train with him to have that asylum interview that was described in the video. But we've been there when things have gone wrong, when things were going better, and everything in between, being homeless, finding somewhere to live, finding a new solicitor whenever it came to making an appeal, and even most recently with helping find support for him to make an application for family reunion. And through the Red Cross, his family were found. They had fled to Pakistan, and so his father was there with his wife and children, and only a month and a half ago did the whole family, his wife and children that is, come to the UK to be joined again with him. He's also been involved in some of our arts programs and language classes and various things like that, but really, it's been that our door's always been open, and we've been willing to leave it that way so that he can feel very comfortable coming to us for support. Mata was a lady coming from West Africa who faced incredible persecution as a lesbian woman, where it wasn't accepted in her community. Her life was very much in danger, and she had experienced horrific violence and abuse, which had severe implications on her mental health. And so we first met her through another charity that referred her to us when she was by the Home Office dispersed to another city. So she had been residing in another city in the UK, where she'd built up those networks of support and where she was receiving help with her mental health. But with a day's notice, she was dispersed to another city because that's the loss of control that many of our participants actually face. They don't have a choice of where they live or how long they'll stay there. And so she was sent to Nottingham. And that charity did really well to make sure that when she was only, before she was even getting to Nottingham, that they had contacted a number of organisations, and ours being one of them. And so we were able to start supporting her again through some of the befriending, but in particular with some of the health issues that she had, and help her get the support that she needed for her mental health too. And through some of the classes and things she was able to come to, we could see that her confidence was increasing, and also that she was starting to just feel a little bit more like Nottingham was home. Whilst she had would much rather be in the culture of her home country and with people that share the same interests in food and language and other things like that, actually she knew that she could never go back. I've already mentioned the theme of home, our home for Refugee Week, but I want to just come in for a few minutes really on this verse that was read out from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. It says he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing, and you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. And the book in the corner is a book called Refuge Reimagined by Mark Gainville, and it's really, really a good read. And he unpacks this these verses, I think, in a really, really helpful way. And what he unpacks really is pointing that the word used for love is the same word used in the covenant love about for Israel, and so we can derive from that that the covenant love and promise is between God and the stranger as well, because it says he defends the cause of the fatherless, the widow, and loves the foreigner. So there is it's implied that there is a covenant between God and the stranger. And then there's a command, and that is that you are to love the stranger in the same way. So the command to love the stranger in the same way that God has. And then too, then there's an invitation into a covenant love between God and the stranger and God and Israel. And I do have a picture of a triangle, and I'll use my hands and arms and do a dance, and maybe it'll make sense. And then not only are we invited to demonstrate love, but we're also to receive it, not only from God, but also from the stranger. And so Mark on Zoom tried to do this, and it did look a little bit like a dance. But wherever you think, at any point of that triangle, you would think that's God, and where you might put Israel, or maybe, you know, God's people, whatever you want, whatever way you want to think of it. And then the stranger, at any point of the triangle, the direction of travel is all round, and it's two-directional too. So, you know, if you've got, maybe if God's here, God's love towards Israel and to the stranger, and it's coming back as well, that God is also receiving, and that this, and it's just flowing all round, really. And if you can kind of picture it like that, I think that's really it seems such a simple thing to say it's the same word, it's the same implication of love, of covenant, but what we don't have time to really think about is all of what's behind covenant love, and the ties of kinship and care, and all of the what's wrapped up in the promise when that covenant is first made between God and Israel through Abraham. So hopefully, just those, you know, just a few, yeah, just a few little thoughts on that verse, really, that the covenant love is between God and the stranger, that love exists, and that there's a command, an expectation for the people of God to also love the stranger, but that we're invited into love between God and the stranger and God and his people. And that we are also invited to demonstrate love, but receive it from God and the stranger. And I think my experience has certainly been that by being involved with refugees and working with the participants that I meet, I have received so much from them. It's meant a whole lot to me. And I feel like I've met God through them in many ways. And our differences don't really matter. There's something quite beautiful about it. We all just, when we accept one another. So the theme of Refugee Week is home, and we've had an exhibition that launched yesterday at Fisher Gate Point Studios, and one of the things that strikes me in the artwork that's been produced on that theme is what the kind of images that you can see, hopefully, here. There's portraits, there's pets, there's places, there's buildings, and all of these associations that people have with home. And I think there was another one back. Yeah, there's some more there. There's some there's pictures of family members. There's somebody here's. There's a piano. And a bed, the sunflowers, I think, because of Ukraine, it's the national flower of Ukraine. So, you know, these are really, really quite striking images and really meaningful what associations our participants have with home and how they've then expressed that in the artwork. And so I wanted to kind of take us on a little bit of a reflection, because I think what is really, really obvious to me is that there's a lot of things that people lose when they have to flee, and there's also a loss the other side to those that they leave behind. In particular, as it's Father's Day, I did want us to just think about what that might look like, feel like. And so if the easiest way for you to do that is to write something or to draw something, then I'd like you to do that over a few minutes with these questions, just to kind of provoke us and to kind of respond, let ourselves kind of just think about what that might be like for some of the refugees that we were working with. So, you know, how might the experience of a refugee leave them feeling fatherless? They might still have living father. They might not, but the distance and not being together. So what that might look like, feel like. Who have they left at home, perhaps feeling fatherless? I told the story of one of our participants who left his family and his children for 7 or 8 years. And in fact, his wife was pregnant when he left. And so he met his, now 6.5-year-old, or thereabouts, for the first time, only a month and a half ago. So how are they left feeling? And then what does it look like to defend the cause of the fatherless, widow, and foreigners? So really just allow yourself to, you know, maybe there's other questions that come to you as you're reflecting on what an experience might feel like for some of the participants who have left home, and what the experience of fatherlessness might be. So just a few minutes, really, and you can write, you can draw, you can just be one word, or you can just squiggle on a circle and just let your mind just kind of enter into that. Just a couple of minutes. We know for lots of the Ukrainians that we've been working with, a lot of dads were back in Ukraine. And it was largely women and children that were coming over. And some people are able to keep in touch, obviously, with family. If they have the internet or phones, and they might be able to keep in touch. But others maybe don't have that, especially when families are separated because of displacement. And if they flee, they might not all end up in the same country. And we know a number of participants that they do. Then they're looking for their family. They're trying to connect with their family. And they don't know where their family are, which is why when the Red Cross are able to, through their family tracing project, help find families, see where they might have turned up, maybe in a refugee camp somewhere else in another neighbouring country. That's why it's so important. It's so important, the work that organisations like that do. a familiar face, perhaps. I've got one little video that just talks a little bit about the experiences of some of our volunteers befriending refugees and asylum seekers here in Nottingham.
Befriending that's been set up by Refugee Roots links a volunteer, like myself, up with one of the clients.
The idea is that you get to know them, you help them with various things, and you try to develop the language by a casual talk within a befriending situation, maybe in a cafe or a home or whatever.
Just go for coffee once a week. I do help him with other things as they come up. If he needs some clothes, I'm able to help him access some clothes. If he's got a form to fill in, it's that sort of thing. I think the great thing about befriending is that it helps an individual feel as though they know somebody. And it's not just in an official capacity. We kind of knock around together, hang out together.
I just really enjoy meeting somebody from a different country, finding about their culture and how they've lived before they came here, but not being nosy, but they tell you about it as they get more and more sure about you.
You were saying yesterday that it means a lot to him, me meeting up with him every week. It gives him a focus for the week. He can get out of the house just do ordinary kind of stuff that's relaxing and enjoyable.
The lady I visit is quite ill, so I've made a point of going to all her medical appointments. The lady will often say she's fine, but actually she's far from it, and so that's been my main role, is liaising between different doctors and appointments.
I think our volunteers, like I've experienced, that it's getting involved in this and getting involved in people's lives and being part of that kind of exchange of love is not just about giving, but it is a receiving thing. If we're open to receiving from whoever you might consider a stranger. I was going to allow a bit of time for some questions after I just share, how can you get involved? Well, how would you like to get involved? Come along to something this week in Refugee Week. We're doing something almost every day, and there's often free food, which is definitely worth coming in and having some of that. So tomorrow night we've got a cooking event. We've got an event at the Playhouse with a performance from refugees as well, doing a little skit, some live music from a Ukrainian folk singer as well, and a poet from refugee background too. And later in the week we'll have some art sessions, and then at the closing ceremony at the Contemporary we'll have some Syrian food, and there'll be live, well, a DJ, which is live music, but if you're a purist like me, maybe, you know, loosely live music. You could become a regular donor. We are looking to have at least, we're aiming for 100 regular donors, and that's a goal that we've got. We're hoping that through Refugee Week people will come and find out a little bit more about the charity, and that'll give them an interest into perhaps making that choice to become a regular donor. There are opportunities to volunteer, and I'd be very happy to talk to you about those.